Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Check out our website, sportsdoctorradio.com, the Sports Doctor. Everything sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Pay attention to all the hoopla with our book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, a complete guide for any parent with a child in sports, whether they're the best athlete in the country or just starting out. You know, really quickly, I want to mention the great, great show, Real Sports with Brian Gumpel, just had a special story on heat-related deaths in the NCAA Division I football, 30 deaths in 10 years. Story about the overzealous craziness of training, the strength and conditioning coaches. Check that out, Real Sports, with that story on these crazy strength and conditioning coaches and the overkill. Great doubleheader today. We're going to start off with Doug Cleaver. Doug is a former All-American, former Cleveland Browns. He's the founder of Personal Performance. He's also the first professional athlete to ever put orthotics in his cleats once upon a time. He'll be joining me, and then we're going across the pond in Wales. James Roberts, he's a Paralympic multi-sport athlete, online training and nutrition coach. Then, everybody, it's me, the Sports Doctor's In, where we answer emails, talk about upcoming shows. Doug Cleaver, welcome to the Sports Doctor, man.
Thanks, Doc. Good to hear you.
Yes, you too. I thought, give us a quickie background on yourself leading up to the personal performance. Again, Doug, pro player, and became one of the finest sports therapists in the country. Give us a little bit of background, Doug.
Well, I can't take a whole lot of credit for that. I had a good mentor in Bob Guida. Bob was Mr. Universe, Mr. America, Mr. USA, but more than being a musclehead, he was a PhD, and brilliant man who taught me so much, and I'm so thankful because God used that man to give me the ability to provide for my family, and I've been able to work with a lot of tremendous young men who have actually gone to the NFL and some and into professional baseball and basketball. So I just feel privileged to have been under Bob and have been trained by him. And we were able to establish this business, which we've been in now for about 25 years. And we've worked with all kinds of athletes from every sport imaginable. And I'm working right now with some of the U of I athletes. They come in along with what they're getting at the stadium.
But, great school. You know, my son's an alumni of U of I, University of Illinois. And again, you know, Doug mentions Bob Guida. Bob wrote a tremendous review of the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. He talked about how he and I have been involved for 40 years in the world of sports medicine. What made Bob special, not only was everything Doug just talked about, but he had a tremendous regard for the role of the foot in sports. I don't want to say he invented rubber bands, but he invented rubber bands and rubber band resistance. And Doug was one of the superstars, again, Cleveland Browns. When did you play for them?
I was with them in 76 and 77, and knee injuries ended my career.
Yes, and I again, you were a multi-sport athlete, and yeah. Again, I was privileged to put prescription orthotics in your cleats. You were the first pro, and Guida attracted professionals, superstars, John McEnroe came to see us, and Tracy Austin, and Walter Payton, and Jim McMahon. But you were one of the first group, as Bob really started with his sports therapy practice. Where did you play in college, Doug?
I played at the University of Illinois.
Played baseball
and football here.
You still have your orthotics in the closet?
Are you kidding? Of course I do.
Now we've got to check the date on them. And again, you went on to become a kinesiotherapist, which is Bob's profession. Most people didn't know how to spell the word kinesiotherapist. And Bob, at the time, we were working with the Olympic men's and women's volleyball teams. It was so exciting. Every other week, there were different athletes from different places coming in to do usually one of two things, Doug, right? Rehabilitate an injury, or what was fairly new then, enhance performance. I think you might have been floating around maybe when Soderholm came in and Billy Buckner and some of these others. And again, the world of kinesiotherapy. So tell us about personal performance down there at UVI.
Well, we're a multifaceted clinic. We have athletic trainers, massage therapists, kinesiotherapists. We have a DPT, a doctor of physical therapy. Actually, my son, Samuel, who also worked under Bob. And I'm also a naturopath, but unfortunately the state doesn't really recognize us here.
That's very unfortunate because, you know, the holistic side of not only medicine, Doug, but sports medicine is a big deal. And naturopaths who use, you know, whether it's herbal medicine and other aspects of, I call it complementary medicine. You know, they used to use the term the alternative medicine, which meant this or that or that or this. But complementary includes everybody. In a naturopathic physician, it's ridiculous that Illinois is still a hassle with that. And the heck, where's your podiatrist, man? But tell me some of the different sports you're dealing with. And what are some of the ages that you guys are dealing with at the clinic?
Well, we've got children coming in from the ages of 7, 8 to high-tech athletes. If you're familiar with Josh Ferguson, Ted Karras, some of these guys who are in the NFL now, you know, I had the privilege of working with them. We've got soccer players, softball, baseball, basketball, you name it. We've pretty much been blessed to be able to touch every sport and athletes in every sport.
You know, I just wrote a note about Guida to a therapist in Australia who was talking about jump training and deceleration. And I was telling him about how Bob used to talk about work the brakes, work the opposites. And Guida, of course, I still have slides of some of the athletes. You might be in there balancing on mini trams.
Yeah.
Walking on oscillating balance beams. And most of the people in sports thought, you know, Guida was a little out there, but it ended up he was just, you know, maybe 20 years ahead of what everybody else was doing. And I know he's very proud, absolutely, sends his regards. He's very, very proud that you're one of the individuals. He's got them all over the country that really has spread the word. Remember when Guida talked about don't stretch? And they did everything but try to assassinate him. He was talking about that. Remember? You know?
Tradition dies hard, Doc. You know that.
I'm telling you. You know, everybody listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Again, go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. Speaking of Guida, you can probably hear him 5 times in different shows over the past 10 years. if you go over to newspaper articles, you can read about everything from what if your son or daughter is specializing in sports, what are we going to do with these concussions, to one of my most popular articles, which is Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge, a whole training program for you gals with high heels. We're very, very active on Twitter. It's one of the fun things why I named the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. And at Sports Doc Radio, we have over 30,000 followers. We're always sharing great information and important aspects of sports medicine, wellness, health and fitness. What's the best website, Doug, finding out about personal performance?
I think it's personalperformance.com.
Okay.
Personal Performance Training and Rehab.com. Yeah.
Okay.
My wife handles all that information, you know.
Good. Tell her to tell you the proper website. Otherwise, they'll go to mine and we'll be able to find it out. But you're in Champaign.
Yeah.
Soft tissue therapy, massage therapy, you mentioned how that's included in your group, was, again, something that was one of the great additions that chiropractic medicine, you know, the first facility we were in, Sports Fitness Institute, was owned by a chiropractor, Dr. Miles Pahanek, the late Dr. Miles Pahanek. And I have a lot of chiropractors on the radio, again, talking about soft tissue therapy. Are you using G5 down there by any chance?
Yeah, we still got them, Doc. We still got them.
I'm telling you, still using them.
They're still tremendous.
Yeah, vibration, deep vibration medicine. So the individuals, again, and I'm so glad you're working with young kids, because I know you pay attention to all of these things we always would pay big attention to, structural integrity. Is this kid flat-footed? Is this kid bow-legged? Does this athlete have equal leg length? What's their range of motion, et cetera, et cetera? What are some of the things that you pay attention to initially when you're seeing one of these athletes, regardless of their sport?
Well, when I initially do an eval, you know, Bob taught us to look from the feet up, the whole kinetic chain principle. If the feet are pronated, it affects the position of the knees. They can go valgus, which affects the position of the hip, which can affect the lower back, right up the kinetic chain. So we want to, you know, Bob was always into element, compound, complex. Train single movements, then compound movements, then element movements, putting all these movements together in function. So we address all that. I look at the structure, the spinal cord, the shoulders, protraction, neck flexion, everything basically Bob taught us. And by the way, I got to say this, Doc, he wasn't 20 years ahead of his time. He was about 30 or 40 years ahead of his time. I think he still is.
I don't want to age him. You know what I mean? We don't want to age. We don't want to age all of us. Another real strong principle that I know you have played forward, and again, like you talked about from the feet up, that's why I'm always singing the song, the foot bones connected to the ankle bones, connected to the knee bone. Everybody's heard that song, and they get it. But Bob, again, instability training, working balance. As a matter of fact, one of the chapters in my book, and I write the second part of Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, it's called The Sports Doctor's In, I talk about the two essential exercises, regardless of your age, regardless of the sport, and the two specific exercises are balance, whether it's mini trams and tilt boards and different kinds of unstable surfaces, and it's the rubber bands. It's strengthening feet and ankles. Talk a little bit about the balance training and some of these different things that you guys are doing in performance training, which was always a big term with you guys. The name of your clinic.
You know, Bob was always a stickler on the foot, as you know, and the ankle. And, you know, if the foot's not stable, if the foundation is broken, then the whole structure is going to collapse. So he always was a proponent of strength, because the stronger a joint is, the more stable the joint becomes. The more stable the joint is because of strength, the more balance one has. So he would train things like ankle eversion, which nobody trained. He would train foot, you know, the toes.
Different ranges. Yes.
Yeah. He would train the big toe. He would train flexion, extension, abduction, He would train all those aspects of the feet as well. Inversion, eversion.
One of the challenges, especially then in the late 70s, 80s, was the fact that every athlete wanted big biceps. They wanted to see how big their chest and shoulders were. Now, Guida would say, that's great, but let me see a balance on one foot.
Looking at
their stability. And again, where the routine, unless an athlete had an injury of an ankle, then it was neglected, out of sight, out of mind. Today, you want to be quicker. You want to have better stability and balance. I don't care what your sport is. Include big time strengthening the feet and ankles. And, of course, you know, way back then we had to go to, like, tire companies to have rubber bands made. with rubber band resistance and different kinds of cable stability. I remember they would tie a rubber band around your waist and you'd run around the block, man, putting some resistance. Right? Now, how big were you when you were playing for the Browns, Keith?
Bob had me, I was about 6'1 and a half, 6'2, and Bob had me weighing 270. But, you know, the way he had trained me, we looked more like bodybuilders than football players, but we were extremely functional because of the way Bob trained us. And also, he was tremendous help in terms of dietary counsel as well.
Yes, today, of course, it's such a big, big part of the overall attitude where we're talking again in the book and Young Athletes, where we bring together different experts and the mind-body, of course, such a big deal, you know, mm-hmm. attitude and mental strength coming back from injury. You know, 6'1", 270, you'd probably be a linebacker. What was your position? Right?
I was an offensive,
really?
Offensive guard.
Right. Now, 6'1", 270, you wouldn't make the team. Just kidding.
Exactly right.
Yes. So, again, athletes much, much bigger, much, much faster, much stronger. One of the big problems, again, I mentioned it at the top of the show with Real Sports, the HBO special, and that I talk about so much in the book, is overkill, overtraining, mm-hmm. overdoing it, pushing to the point of injury, let alone the heat-related stuff. It's amazing in this day and age that there is any heat-related emergency or death in the country with all of the awareness. It's just, it's an absolute debacle. But overtraining, overstressing, and again, one of my chapters in the book is called Youth Sports and Drugs. So it's such a tremendous topic. I knew the time would fly, Doug. Did your wife or give you the right website address?
Yes, she did.
She did? What is
it? Yes, she did. I'm sorry?
Is it Personal Performance?
Exactly. She's not here right now. I'm so sorry, Bob. I'm telling you, man. Without her, I'm lost.
Are you personalperformance.com?
We're Personal Performance Training and Rehabilitation.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have them check that out. I'm going to let you hold on a quick second. Doug Gleiber, again, the first pro with orthotics in his shoes from the Cleveland Browns in the 1977. And again, the founder, Personal Performance, in the down by University of Illinois. Doug, hold on. Thanks so much. Everybody, we'll be right back to Sports Doctor.
God bless you, Doc. Thanks.
Hold on.
All right.
Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. We're flying across the pond. We're talking with James Roberts, either Wales, England. And I want to, James, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
So thanks for having me on, Bob.
Yes, he's a Paralympic athlete, multi-sport athlete. James has his own online training and nutrition company. And for everybody who isn't familiar, you know, our show, The Sports Doctor, is broadcast the following week on the great UK Health Radio Network. So you can catch us across the pond as well. James, give us a little bit of background on your illustrious career, if you would.
Well, I was trying to cut a long story short. I started out originally as a swimmer. This would have been about in the early 2000s. I started out in actual everybody's sport, and it kind of transpired into what was later my Paralympic career. But it was kind of the off chance that a coach of ours, because I grew up overseas with both my parents being in the military, approached me when I was 15 or 16 about had I thought of ever trying disability sport. But I think because I was of that nature and of that age where you're kind of confrontational anyway as a teen, I kind of a little bit took it the wrong way. I took it on board as just chatter. Went home, discussed it with my mother, and I think we talked about this not too recent ago. She was actually more shocked by the comment, whereas I kind of looked at it and I talk about it a bit on other podcasts.
What's your disability, James?
It's femoral dysplasia. So in essence, for your listeners, I have a small tibia, small fibula, no femur, no knee. So in essence, it's the lower portion of my leg attached to the hip. And also, I've got a floating hip. So that is the actual top of the femur floating around in muscle. So I don't have the actual hip socket itself.
So you're a wheelchair athlete, Paralympic athlete, right?
No, I competed in actual Paralympic sports. In rowing would have been trunk and arms. So for your listeners, most people associate rowing with the full body movement. So with my classification, it was just solely the upper body. And then my final sport I competed in before I retired was sitting volleyball. So it's like the cousin of standing volleyball. So the only difference is the court size dimensions are smaller. And that's about it. And then all the other rules are the same. But more recently, since I've come back and could be based in Wales, I've gone into wheelchair basketball. But all the other sports have been very much non-wheelchair based.
Yes, you know, you talked about being approached. You probably were a hotshot teenager, like you talked about, maybe with one attitude or another attitude. Yet you became decided really to get so involved in sports. How long have you been involved as a Paralympic athlete?
It was just over a decade, so it would have been from the age of about not long after that discussion with the coach, for about 15, 16, up until the present day, really, because I'm still involved within Paralympic sport to some degree.
And I know you do some, we'll talk about a little bit more, online coaching and training in the world of nutrition and training. And I would expect absolutely that you participate in vigorous training for your different sports. Where you are? Are you in Wales?
Yes, I am, Bob.
Okay. And so what are you participating now? Wheelchair basketball or volleyball? What are you doing now?
Now the sport I'm predominantly doing is wheelchair basketball.
Again, the skills, I think when people watch the Paralympics and you get an incredible perception of the skills of the athletes in so many different sports, I think a lot of people are blown away by the skills that we see regardless of the particular sport that's involved. And so the Paralympics have become such a tremendously big deal. So are you competing with Wales, with UK?
No, we're doing basketball now. It's just my, you could say, just club-based team. So very much national league, and that's about it. Well, ours is a little bit bigger than that because with North Wales being so spread out player-wise with disabilities, we've gone as a regional approach. So for your American listeners, it's probably a little bit like representing your state in a national competition.
When were the last Paralympics and when are the next Paralympics? Were you in Rio?
No, my last Paralympics would have been in London in 2012.
And are you planning to look to compete in the future?
There's that little itchiness to get back into the movement, but I'm quite happy with what I've achieved. Okay, it would have been nice to have got that elusive gold medal, but if it was that easy, everybody would be doing it. But
right.
No, I'm quite happy with on reflection where I'm at, and I obviously know the painstaking training the guys and girls do day in, day out. So I don't, from that aspect, I don't miss it.
Now, your coaching. Tell us about your coaching, the type of sports and what you pay attention to, because you do the an online training and nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
I think to answer your question there, Bob, I think it's not sport specific. I'll get certain athletes come to me, be it from sports that I've partaken, be it presently with virtual basketball or sports I've done in the past. But generally, the client base that I work with would be, there'll be amputees, there is able-bodied. And I think because of the nature of just the being I have become, being very adaptable with my environment, I've been able to probably bring that across from both my individual experiences and then also the sporting ones as well, and being able to transfer that into the business. So when people say, well, how can I adapt this to be this exercise, more specifically, be it disability, impairment, what else would it be? A limitation because, I don't know, back problem, whatever. I'll sometimes think outside of the box, but then it's the normal way of thinking. It's, well, okay, you can't do it this way. Let's give you a plan B, so to speak.
You know, it's interesting. In the so many guests we have on the Sports Doctor over the years, we pay huge attention to the mental game. We pay mm-hmm. huge attention to that whole side of whether it's athletics, whether it's business, whether it's parenting. It's one of the reasons it's a big inclusion in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. And when you're working as a coach in whatever area, then I always ask a question, which is, hey, James, how's your psychology skills?
I would say pretty good because I think for me, fortunately, I've had some people might call it adversity in early life, would happen to be, well, growing up with a disability. I probably don't perceive it that way. It's the hand I've been dealt with, and I've just accepted it and adapted to the situation. But then more
that alone
more
is revolutionary.
On,
that is very powerful. Yeah, what you just said. You might say the challenges that you faced also, not necessarily the word disability. And that's incredibly commendable with the way you describe it.
Well, I think it's how I've been brought up. It's you can look at it one or two ways. You go round an obstacle, you go through it. I think probably at times when I was younger, I'd probably go through head first, straight through something. Whereas now I probably reflect, well, do I need to do this particular whatever it may be, or can I find ways around where I can adapt to it to a certain degree? So I probably not full on when I was a bit younger. I probably didn't think of the consequences at times, but I think you kind of learn as you get older. Okay, I can tweak things a little bit and get away with it. But I think to answer your question a little bit further, well, I went on to do a sports science degree at university, so I very much got immersed into sports psychology, and that's the one I kind of found, which was one of the better topics.
Yes, both sports science and sports psychology, and we really, really want to touch on that when we come back for our next segment. James, what's the website people can find out more about you and your program?
It's fit.co.uk. fitampute.co.uk.
Okay, we will ask you again. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor.
Near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Again, you can check out my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, and you can go back, 10 years, listen to radio shows. You could zip over to newspaper articles and read on so many different topics, some of the different things that we've written on that website. We're talking across the pond, Wales. James Roberts. James is a former Paralympic athlete, multi-sport athlete. He's now very involved in some online training, coaching, and training and nutrition. We were just talking about your including the attention about the mental game, whatever. You're including the sports psychology as well as the sports science side in you paying attention to whether it's athletes or clients. Talk a little bit about that, James.
I think to answer your question there, Bob, I think with sports science and sports psychology more specifically, I think it was as an athlete, I was able to utilize more than, say, biomechanics and physiology, and I kind of used them hand in hand. What I learned as an athlete, I could then transfer into, say, coursework, writing down papers and whatnot, and putting the kind of the real-life scenarios onto paper, and then what I learned in lectures I could then utilize in the real world. So I think they worked hand in hand. And then when people talk of mindfulness, I probably steer more towards sports psychology because that's how I was engrossed as an athlete. And I think I'm better served for be it clients or the younger generation athletes coming through. I can kind of steer them in the right direction as well. This is kind of some of the adversities I had to overcome when I was an athlete. Let's kind of give you the tools and the skills to kind of skip that one step on the ladder, so to speak, so you don't have to overcome that adversity. You can kind of skip over it. Okay, you learn from the past generations, you could say mistakes to some degree, and kind of give yourself a helping hand up further up.
Oh, I think it's interesting how, again, on the Sports Doctor, we talk about it all the time, whether we're talking with psychiatrists, psychologists, sports trainers. You know, the word mindfulness, was considered voodoo probably a couple of decades ago. Mind-body connection also. There was a limited attention to that. Now, at the highest level of sports medicine, there is huge attention. Mindfulness, I like to describe as being in the moment, being able to be fully aware of what you're doing. You know, it sounds so much easier said than done, but it's really the kind of skill that really, really can be practiced. The whole positive mental attitude and the importance of psychology, regardless of the sport level, wouldn't you say?
I definitely agree with that, and as probably definitely top-end athletes will talk about, it is the 1% difference between winning and losing, what happens upstairs.
What ages are you dealing with some of the, again, whether it's fitness people or active athletes, what kind of ages are you dealing with your training, James?
They probably range from, say, mid-20s. I think the oldest client I've worked with is in his, I think, late 60s, early 70s. So there's quite a broad range of individuals, characters that you have to work with.
Right. That's, again, why we talk about, you know, whether or not let alone dealing with families or dealing with parents with youth athletes, again, which is a whole different challenge, a whole different world. In your working with some of these different athletes with various physical challenges or other challenges, are you working with any that are in that are Paralympic athletes?
Not presently. I think because, well, more so in the UK, it's probably more advice than working with them. They'll probably come to myself or other trainers I know who are removed from the elite level for advice, because they get all of those services provided in at the top end anyway. So it'd be maybe another set of ears and somebody else, another opinion on something they may be struggling with, be it, what, I don't know, an adaptation they want for an exercise, another set of opinions on nutrition, and just generally. But then in terms of, it's the more people I will see are probably either the up-and-coming athletes or they're there or thereabouts internationally.
Yeah, interesting. I know you do pay, and I agree totally, a lot of attention to the world of nutrition, and that's become such a science. One of the contributors to our book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is a sports nutritionist that did a lot of stuff with Michigan State, a lot of these adolescent athletes talking about fueling. I think there's so much more attention, including nutrition, at all sorts of different levels, wouldn't you say?
I definitely agree. I think I get asked, well, what does your diet consist of? As more so as an athlete, I said, in honesty, well, it's probably changed slightly throughout my lifetime, but because I kind of was taught the basics, oh gosh, when I was very, very young, the building blocks are already there in place. Okay, the quantity is probably changed over that lifetime because you're talking about fuel. I probably perceived it as that in itself. I think at university people say, oh, you're eating the similar stuff every single day. Yeah, but I'm not treating it as food. I'm treating it as fuel because I'm coming straight back from training. I'm just looking to refuel and that's it, replenish the body and get it to be more like a motor vehicle. And that's it. Whereas now I've kind of taken a step back from sport. I probably enjoy my food a little bit more and I will probably treat myself and whatnot and make it a little bit more fancy and things like that. Whereas back then, yeah, the appearance of the food wasn't important.
Now, people, of course, can Google James Roberts Paralympics, but give me the website again that you gave me that you skipped over that people could find out more information if they, besides Googling you.
My website is fitamputee.co.uk, so it's fitamputee.co.uk.
Great, you know, that kind of information, you know, so pertinent. So you were working with amputees and other physically challenged individuals?
I have done, but I don't just tailor to just amputees. It'll be the able-bodied individuals as well, because I actually started.
But you
out,
include them. You include,
yes,
them.
Yes, very much.
I would think. I think you'd be such a tremendous inspiration. Again, whether it's the best athlete in the country, I can't believe the time flew by. Talking James Roberts, former Paralympic athlete, online training and nutrition. From Wales, we're talking to James. So I want to thank you so much for joining us, James.
It's been my pleasure, Bob.
Yes, hold on one quick second. Everybody, we'll be right back with the Sports Doctors Inn. Valley Wellness Center is a highly regarded leader in holistic health, led by Dr. Steve Moress, one of the first Lyme disease literate physicians in the Midwest. His team of integrative medicine practitioners blend the best of conventional and complementary therapies. Dr. Moress is president-elect of the prestigious International Lyme and Associated Disease Society. They specialize in treating the causes of disease, not just the symptoms. Fox Valley Wellness Center also offers hyperbaric oxygen treatment. Located at 180 Knights Way in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. For more information, call 920-922-5433. That's 920-922-5433. Hey, the Sports Doctor's in. Dr. Bob here, sports podiatrist. If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance,
step or two quicker, call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody. We're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor, Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Check out my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go back to radio shows, see who was on, what topics interest you. Again, you could go over to newspaper articles, magazine articles, and check out just recently Lower Extremity Review. I did a guest editorial really talking about the multi-specialty approach to preventing this rash of overuse injuries in youth athletics. We talk about the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. So check out the website. Or again, if you go to hashtag Hey Sports Parents, you'll get us, follow us on Twitter. Got some great shows coming up the next couple of weeks. The Med Spa World, Cool Sculpting. We have Dr. Ruth Martins. Will be joining us next week, functional medicine, natural medicine, and she's the medical director of Lux Spa, and she'll join us. And Dr. Jeff LaCour will be joining us, the physics of balance. The following week, running coach Lori Lassiter will have a return visit, and then Karen Cadeline and her excellent book, Fat Lash, growing up as a young model and the kind of restrictions, craziness of the food and diet world. Interesting stuff. So let's check out some emails. Before that, I want to mention again the challenges of a young athlete specializing in one sport. I have a chapter in the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. It's called The Prodigy Sports. The sports like gymnastics, figure skating, tennis, soccer, where you might have 10, 11, 12-year-olds. It's the only sport they want to play. They're not interested in other sports. There's no doubt about it. We would like young athletes to play a various amount of sports, use different parts of the body in different ways. But it's a tough sell for a young figure skater. I remember my poster guy, Evan Lysacek, the 2010 Olympic gold medalist, men's figure skating, grew up in the Chicago, Naperville area. I put orthotics in his skates. He was 10 years old. 15 years later, he was the best in the world. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old skates. It's all they want to do. So paying attention to the kind of strengthening besides just one sport is a big deal. And you can read more about it in the book. Let's see. Tom says, my 15-year-old daughter is a figure skater. She has a slight leg length difference. Is this important? She's now doing double jumps. You know, Tom, it is important. There are different kinds of couple of categories of leg shortages. One is anatomical, where there might be differences of bone length of one type or another in the lower leg, upper leg. It's much, much, much less common. Might be a result of an old break. Than the functional leg length. Anything from one foot collapsing more than the other to pelvic tilt or rotation can cause a functional shortage. And if we took 10 people off the street, we probably would see 7 of them. We would be able to measure some sort of a functional shortage. And we want to pay attention when you're starting to talk about all sorts of jumping activities. See a good sports podiatrist. Orthotics can be one of our greatest weapons in compensating for whatever that imbalance might be, specifically in skating, and give you a much better chance of your daughter staying out of trouble with whether it's low back, knee, or foot problems. Angie says, I'm 50 years old. I wore heels for over 20 years. I've started doing some fitness walking, light jogging. My calves and Achilles tendons are bothering me. You know, Angie, you bring up an interesting point on my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to newspaper articles, you'll see an article called Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge. And we talk about the possible shortening of the Achilles tendon area, calf area, with women who have lived in for years and years and years heels, where the heel is elevated off the ground. Couple of recommendations: vary the heel height of whatever heels that you might be wearing. Really pay attention to strengthening the feet and ankles. My first guest today, we talked about rubber band exercises with Doug Kleber, and you can do some real strengthening exercises. When you go from being in heels for years and years and years, not only does your posture change, you get possible shortening of that Achilles tendon, which is bothering you when you go into a sneaker. See a good podiatrist, physical therapist, and this way you can get on the right direction paying attention to this. Usually we see the combination of prescription orthotics and strengthening solves your problem. Michelle says, my 10-year-old son wears orthotics. They really helped his ankles. He's a very active soccer player. How often do we have to change these? Michelle, usually we'll see maybe 2 years, year and a half to 2 years. I have had boys and girls get away with orthotics longer than that. That's been my average over decades and decades, which is after about 2 years, we might see your son complaining, you know, the orthotic's too short. It's digging in maybe to the ball of my foot, or it's too narrow possibly. So you want to follow up with this. It's routine in my office to follow up with young children because by the time your son is 15 years old, his foot growth is probably over, and he might use the same orthotics for the next 10, 15 years. In girls, it might be 13, 14 years old. So you definitely want to be able to pay attention to that growth factor and that you're checking on the size. Again, everybody, check out Real Sports on HBO. It's a startling story with some of the heat-related deaths in NCAA football still. In this day and age, we just came off the summer. Again, check out hashtag Hey Sports Parents. It's a tremendous, so much hoopla with the book, so much excitement. We'll have various guests coming up in the future who have participated. And hey, I'll catch you next week, another edition of The Sports Doctor. Thank you.
Fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.